listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
She's so outrageously beautiful, amazingly beautiful. Who would have known that she hated every time she takes a look in the mirror? All she hear is how she could have kept that nigga. If she had bigger titties, pretty eyes, slimmer hips, lighter skin, then she'd be gorgeous. Ordinary ain't enough, so she plucks and she plucks implants and tummy tucks. Suck it in hell. Suck it. Like that. I'm sorry. Really wish... Really wish she was thin, but then she'd be perfect. Picture perfect. Personally, there's person that surpasses what you see, but there's a circus she's a part of. She was brought up to be bought up, and these ballers ain't been calling her since autumn like they ought to be. Part of me understands, but otherwise it's Sanskrit. How a damsel can use her hands down her throat so her pants fit. Famous, she stands in front of the mirror tearing up, asking why she ain't enough. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Wednesday, end of the week Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Oh, podcasting since podcasting, been fucking podcasting,
yeah,
y'all.
We this is a very busy week. We have been recording more than days in the week.
And yeah, I did Balls Deep Sports this morning, and pregame of course, and now we're about to do this, and then tomorrow. My day off, I'm gonna record a little something for Three Guys On. I mean, look, it's about to grind, y'all, okay? So if you're in these podcast streets, holler at us when you see us in these streets, okay? Because we everywhere right now. We put that on everything.
We everywhere.
Mm-hmm. We like Texas Pete. We on everything y'all love.
Ain't that the truth?
Of course, this podcast, it's called The Blackout Tips, comes on 5 days a week. Motto of the show is Nothing's Wrong If It's Funny. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. Today's podcast is brought to you by Sunspot and Other Ratchetness and the Best of Rod and Karen, which are Shadow Dog Productions audio play albums that have Karen and I on them.
Yes.
See how easy that is? You can listen to them on Amazon, iTunes, just snap those things up, leave them reviews, or you can listen to them on the streaming services such as Spotify and Tidal. Just search our names and we'll come up and you can leave us. Well, you can listen to those. You can't leave reviews, but you know what I'm saying. Just check us out, okay? We out here in these streets. We're trying to be everywhere right now, okay, guys?
What Visa, MasterCard, wherever would want them. Everywhere you want to be.
Everywhere your black ass want to be. I think right. That's the motto.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate as well, which is a monthly mystery crate filled to the brim with all kinds of exclusive toys and games and collectible items for all you nerdery nerds out there that's just living in these nerd streets trying to get your nerd life. All you gotta do is go to lootcrate.com/tbgwt and enter code TBGWT. You get $3 off of any new subscription. Later on we'll give you a better description. We'll talk about our favorite things from the box as of late. All right, all kinds of stuff is going on. I don't even know where to start, really. Let's see. You know what? It's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we kick it off with something we haven't done in a couple of days, and that is LGBTQ news. Question, you have the answer, so tell me what I want to know. Do you want to funk? Do you want to funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want to funk, let me show you how. Do you want to funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? Hey. All right, let's get into this horrible news. I'm sorry, everybody, but you knew it was going to be horrible. I mean, it's part of the playoff for all this beautiful art and entertainment. But at least you'll be understanding and educated on all the things that our brothers and sisters and, you know, non-gender conforming people go through. Nearly 50% of LGBT pupils are bullied at school, a report finds. That's a lot. Now, yes, I don't know.
That is.
How that compares to I don't know how that compares to other students
study, but so, you know,
well, 1 in 2 chance, nigga, that's a lot. Nearly half of LGBT pupils experience bullying, a new report is found amid growing concern that transphobia is on the rise in schools. Well, I wonder where the kids will be getting that from. While homophobic abuse has declined in recent years, the research shows 64% of transgender pupils have been subjected to bullying in school, with many schools found to not be equipped to support transgender pupils. And you know that the people in charge are not, they're actively trying not to be equipped, because their ultimate goal is for trans people to not exist. They're just like, everybody go back into the closet, pretend to be whatever the fuck you need to do to get by, and that's the end of that. The findings published last week by LGBT charity Stonewall show that schools are also less likely to flag up transphobic bullying. While 7 in 10 LGBT students believe that schools will not tolerate homophobic bullying, less than half believe the teachers are as stringent with while addressing abuse directed at transgender students. You know, now one thing I will say though, and I guess it's anyway, because I don't know how to frame it, because I'm not, it's better than it was, so I put it that way. 70% of students feeling like if it's homophobic, the teachers and people know how to handle that. That's got to be a lot higher than when I was in school.
Oh yeah,
because I feel like when I was in school, it was like that was the number one type of bullying, and I don't mean like I'm gonna bully someone who is LGBT, but like I'm gonna call you a homophobic slur to demean you and stuff, like
regardless if you fit in the category or not.
Yeah, but right. It was like being gay is an insult. I wonder if those numbers have gone down somewhat as, you know, society over the years has become more vocal and more I don't want to say accepting, but more, you're seeing it more, you see more people who are LGBT, well, L and G, you see more L and G in regular, like, you know,
it's more
sports.
Yeah,
there's news anchors now who are openly out. There's like, that has changed in my lifetime, because there's times when I mean now it's not perfect, there's still people that are in and stuff, but I'm just saying in general that's changed in my lifetime, to where it's like, oh yeah, so-and-so's gay, and it didn't change anything about their career.
Right.
They didn't just have to disappear now. It wasn't a scandal. They didn't get caught being gay. It was just, I'm gay.
Right.
The end, you know, that's kind of interesting, because that number has to be a lot higher than when I was a kid, because I feel like teachers never did shit. You know, and if there was a kid who was, you know, suspected to be gay, it clearly, like, people were relentless. I still remember kids from my neighborhood where it's like people were mocking them, joking them, talking shit about them. And it's like, damn, this is pretty open. Like, nobody, y'all don't feel bad at all. There's no, the teachers aren't stepping in, seeing people joke these kids. Yep. It was like a whole ass thing, and nobody said shit. So I guess there's some silver lining, is that they're doing better. But now that we have people who are just now becoming aware that they're transgender people, and it's just now starting to work its way into like legislation, school guidelines and things of this nature, well now you have this huge push against trans people and inclusion. So no wonder the schools aren't prepared. There's people who actively don't want the school to be prepared. Like, yeah. What do you do with that?
Yeah, when that's trip funding, don't give you what you need, don't prepare you,
they fight against it legislatively,
people
with
don't
like,
get proper training,
because just think, at the heart of this is a kid somewhere. So it's just like, what bathroom can I go to? And that's a whole legislative fight taking place in the court system and the political system. I just need to use the bathroom. I would just like, if I get bullied, for a teacher to know how to talk to me, you know, for there to be some guidelines. I like for my bully to be, you know, told to leave me alone. That's a whole ass like ordeal. Yep, the transgender pupils also twice as likely to try to take their own lives. 2 in 5 transgender pupils have attempted to commit suicide, compared to just 1 in 5 among LG and B pupils. The likelihood of bullying due to sexuality varies throughout the country. It adds, the highest rate of bullying was reported in Wales, where 54% of LGBT students are subject to bullying, while the lowest rate was found in Greater London. Okay, so this is actually overseas, a study. So who knows? Who knows if we are even tracking this in America?
We're not.
Interesting. Where less than 40% receive abuse, researchers, less than 40%. That is like okay, Greater London. Woo. Hey guys, you got a less than 1 out of 2 chance of someone bullying you. Researchers also found that 1 in 5 LGBT pupils have been taught about safe sex and same-sex relationships. Oh, that's very low. Speaking of, yeah, that's because when you learn in health class, they don't teach you that.
So you're not teaching about condoms. You're not teaching about proper, you know, anal sex. Like, just keep that real. Like you're not talking about alternatives.
They're not talking about sex between 2 women or 2 men or, or anything else.
And even straight people have anal sex. So I think anal sex actually needs to be covered. Most of the time in sex education class, it's normally heterosexual sex is taught. You're not taught about anal sex whatsoever.
All right. They said they couldn't hear the song in the chat?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know why.
Let me refresh, guys. Let me see if that fixes it.
Okay.
I don't think I changed anything. Come right back. That sucks.
Y'all had to hear us. Heard us singing.
I know.
Y'all heard acapella.
Acapella, but yes. Let me see if this fixes it. Because they need to hear these sound clips and all that stuff. All
right,
yes.
I know, right?
So wait, were they not hearing any music before the show started?
Not sure.
Yeah, were y'all not hearing any music before the show started? Was that what was happening?
So it just looked like you were just...
So y'all were just listening to me jam. That is ridiculous. You guys should definitely say something.
So they're just looking at you bop for hours because I heard the music.
Y'all are some weirdos, man. I'll tell you that much.
When y'all come in and y'all don't see the music, y'all see him moving, y'all let him know.
Yeah, let me check the settings real quick as well.
So y'all just watched him for 30 minutes?
Let me check the setup page. Okay. That's the camera. Default is...
Yeah, it might be something not allowing it to go through.
Let me try this. This will refresh real quick. They ain't hear the gay new song. Y'all are such nice people.
Yes. I know. They so nice.
I was listening to Jay-Z before y'all got on here.
I mean, you were rocking too. And nobody was like, hey, I can't hear the music, nigga.
So let me, do y'all hear this? Hold on, it's not started yet. All right, now. Okay. All right, so they hear I Choose You. All right. Sorry y'all missed that that glorious rendition of whatever the fuck of Do You Want Funk. I would be embarrassed if it wasn't for you know, the fact that we've been doing this for so long.
I know, honey, they probably was singing their hearts out, and for the people listening later on, they're gonna hear the music,
right? At any rate, man, you know, it seems to be horrible, as per usual. Let's see what else happened. Andrew Garfield claims that he's gay without the physical act, which started a firestorm on Twitter. Like, people were not feeling that shit at all. He inadvertently set off a controversy this week when he proclaimed himself to be a gay man without the physical act. The comment came as Garfield, 33, was speaking Monday about his role in the production of Angels in America, a 1993 play about the AIDS crisis and other LGBT issues being staged in London. Garfield plays the gay protagonist Prior Walter and was asked during the Q&A how he got ready for the role. As far as I know, I'm not a gay man, he said. Maybe I'll have an awakening later in my life, which I'm sure will be wonderful, and I'll get to explore that part of the garden. But right now, I'm secluded to my area, which is wonderful as well. I adore it, but a big concern was what right do I have to play this wonderful gay role? It was about doing honor, doing justice, and knowing my history. Garfield explained that he spent a lot of his free time preparing to become Pryor. Then he brought up RuPaul's Drag Race, the reality TV contest that's been airing for 9 seasons. My only time off during rehearsals, every Sunday I would have 8 friends over and we would just watch Ru. This is my life outside of this play. I'm a gay man right now, just without the physical act. That's all. Oh, yeah, I see why people had a problem with that. I was like, yeah, I see why you got a problem with that. His response spread instantly. Attitude, for example, published a story with the headline, Andrew Garfield, I'm a gay man now because I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Queerty condemned the remarks, writing that even though Garfield was likely not trying to be offensive, it doesn't really work like that. Garfield also made waves on Twitter with several users compared the actor to James Franco, who in 2016 did an interview with himself as both straight James and gay James. Garfield's comments didn't sit well with the LGBT community, in part because the challenges people already face. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among people 10 to 24. Lesbian, gay, and bisexual teens are 4 times more likely than straight peers to attempt it, according to the Trevor Project. About 40% of homeless young people are LGBT. LGBT Americans often have trouble finding health care and are often targets of hate crimes. In 2007, the FBI dealt with more than 7,600 such incidents, and nearly a fifth of them were motivated by sexual orientation, according to the Human Rights Campaign. Hate crimes are also on the rise since the election of Donald Trump. As Southern Poverty Law Center Intelligence Project Director Heidi Byrich, told Newsweek earlier this year. In short, the oppression is real. Garfield may be having a rough time right now because there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out and he's not in it. But he might want to watch his words. Yeah, man. I mean, I can definitely relate to why that's fucked up.
Yeah, that was like, you can't watch RuPaul Drag Race and say that statement.
I am gay.
Right. That ain't your key in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am a gay man. Mm-hmm. Because I like watching gay stuff on TV that make me gay, but without having the gay sex. So other than that. And maybe one day I'll awaken and I'll be gay at some point later on in my life, but not right now. Yeah, you know what it is? I think it's the guilt of taking the role.
I hate to be that, but just don't take it. I hate to be like that, but I mean, it's one of the things where you take it, play it, but don't take the role.
Yeah,
it bothers you that much because, you know, actually they could have gave it to somebody that was actually gay. Instead, you could have turned it down. You probably can go in and walk in. They, you know, most places, you know, because it's not like he's a nobody. He probably can walk in and get hot on the spot. He's not one of the people that would have to constantly go out and do like a roll call or whatever that is for the role.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me is an audition. You know what's interesting to me is I don't think the person was asking him. Like, I don't think it was a challenge. Like, what make you think you could be a gay man or whatever? Because honestly, people of all types have played different gender orientations on the screen. Mm-hmm. People may be annoyed with some of this shit, but ultimately it's that thing where like it's not gonna stop, so the horse has left the barn. You just gotta let people be annoyed with you. Just the same way that when a cisgender person plays a trans person on, like, people are gonna be annoyed. You knew that when you took the role. You ain't have a problem cashing the check. So you gotta take the criticism.
Yes, you do.
You know, Jeffrey Tambor is a dude. He won a fucking, like, Emmy and still got up there and had to be like, but it'll be even better when trans people can play trans people on TV and they don't need people like a straight white guy like me doing da 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 da. I mean, it's kind of lip service, but at the same time, that you knew that controversy was coming. In this case, man, I just would have been like, look, man, I studied for the role. These words on this page speak to me, blah blah blah. Like, just leave it at, you don't have to be like, mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, I listen to Sylvester, so, and Beyonce is queen, yes, so I'm gay and basically just without having sex, and no more questions, please. Okay, thank you. China is banning gay content from the internet.
China, what they're like, fuck what your mama said, we blocking everything.
Somewhere Mike Pence just went, so we could do that along? We could do that. Is that I didn't know you could. Now what button is that? because I'm fitting to be president eventually, and I hate gay people. Yeah, they banned any display of abnormal sexual behaviors from online video and audio content, and that does include homosexuality as far as they're concerned. Yep. All right, let's see what else we got here. One of my favorite sites, Unicorn Booty.
I love every time you say that.
People are pissed.
Oh, shit.
That the largest LGBTQ travel network is endorsing Trump hotels.
I would too.
LGBTQ activists and businesses have expressed outrage over the International Gay and Lesbian Travel Association's recent listing of three Trump hotels among its successful businesses supporting LGBTQ tourism. Trump, his administration, and political party have all helped roll back LGBTQ rights nationwide, making Trump hotels inclusion in IGLTA's ranking seem wrongheaded and tone deaf. We asked IGLTA why they included the hotels, and also asked a gay travel writer, a longtime LGBTQ travel industry professional, and a tourist business owner their thoughts. The IGLTA touts itself as the world leading global travel network dedicated to connecting and educating LGBTQ travelers and the businesses that welcome and support them along the way. But on July 5th, it announced three Trump hotels, Trump Soho New York, Trump International Hotel and Tower Chicago, and Trump International Hotel and Tower New York as successful businesses supporting LGBTQ tourism. Mm-hmm. By including the hotels among others listed on the website, the IGLTA encourages LGBTQ travelers to do business with them, considering Trump's ongoing mistreatment of the LGBTQ community. One wonders why the IGLTA has included Trump branded hotels at all. The inclusion of Trump hotels into the IGLTA isn't new. In 2011, Michael Jones, deputy managing director of online petition site change.org, petitioned the IGLTA board to dump Trump properties, citing Trump's anti-equality views.
Right.
In the month that followed the petition's creation, the IGLTA board planned to discuss whether to revoke the membership of Trump properties, but it's unclear whether they ever took any actions.
If I was using that service, because a lot of times them services, you probably got to pay membership fees, you know, and shit like that. Mm-mm. I wouldn't use that service no more. Even if I was straight, I wouldn't use that service no more.
Yeah, they said, the IGLTA president said, of the three properties that are IGLTA members, two have been with the organization since 2012. Trump Soho is owned by a California-based real estate investment company. Trump International Hotel in New York, Tower New York, and Chicago are condo hotels where each unit is individually owned. And these properties have hosted numerous same-sex weddings in its banquet and event space. Their catering sales associates have also completed gay wedding institution certification course to better serve the LGBT wedding market.
Don't matter to me. Got his name on it.
He also sent a link to the IGLTA bylaws, but neither he nor any other IGLTA representative provided any further insight into our questions. Yeah, man, I don't know, dog. They still got Trump on the outside. You know that's gonna be a tough sell.
Correct.
Sound like they just been around for a while and paid all their dues and shit, and that's like, yeah, well, we always put them in, sounds like what they are saying, but come on, man, you gotta know.
Come on, yeah, and it's one of the things where I think Trump could have cared less, but now since he's president, he has to care. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he was like, kill all the gays and shit like that, but, you know, that what your party and your administration wants you to do, so that's what you're doing now. So who gives a fuck about before? As of right now, you don't represent positive things to this community. So if you want people to continue to use your service, and you know, I'm pretty sure you probably have to pay fees attached to that, they're not doing this shit to the kindness of their hearts, you're gonna have to separate yourself from them and everybody else too. A lot of people are getting protested when people find out that you have something Trump associated, Trump mm-hmm. anything, people are like, nope, fuck that.
Well, especially the LGBT community, Black community, Latino community, like immigrants, Muslims, like there's a lot of people that don't want to do business that promotes this name. Like, his policies are anti all that shit. Like, you know, this is why there's infighting within the LGBT community, because you have so many people that are like, whiteness makes the quote unquote decisions and gets the brand TM and decides, you know, what to celebrate and stuff. You know, Reggie on What's the Tea has some good thoughts about this a couple weeks ago, where he kind of talked about Pride month and how it's a big ass party, but he's like, it's not a big ass party for everybody.
No, it's not.
And you know, if people aren't aware of that, then they, you know, they kind of lose the struggle in it, in the idea of like, this is just a fun thing for, you know, white people and then allies to put on rainbow shirts and come out and dance. And it's like, it's deeper than that, where, you know, this is all of a sudden it's time to stop talking about people dying in the streets, people,
because that's all they came for, like, right? Yeah, they came to throw up glitter and that's it. Like, we came from glitter and rainbows. Your problems, we not trying to hear. You not rain on our parade. But it's like, hey, everything ain't about you and what you got to go through. You're partying, but in reality you're partying because of your privilege,
right? Charlie Craggs is working on dispelling myths about transgender people one gorgeous manicure at a time. The 24-year-old trans activist is making a name for herself with her innovative company called Nail Transphobia, a pop-up nail salon that is designed to spark conversation, eliminate misconceptions, and build stronger communication. The logistics are pretty brilliant. The salon in question is installed at various museums, events, and festivals, allowing anyone to attend to receive a free manicure along with the opportunity to talk to a transgender person. In turn, the customer is able to learn about being trans and hopefully erase any misconceptions they have about the trans community. As Craigs explains on her website, the simple act of having a discussion can be extremely educational, especially for someone who might have never met a trans person before. I want people to go away with more than just a manicure. I want them to go away an ally, she says. All right. I mean, that's definitely a different way to tackle it.
Yeah, very different way to tackle it.
Craigs founded Nail Transphobia in 2013 after realizing that there was a serious need for a heightened dialogue in order to bring awareness to people outside the trans community. Now the 24-year-old has expanded the project to also offer a series of free workshops called Nailing It. These events are designed to help trans women and non-binary femmes through the process of transition, as well as promote the importance of self-love. For Craggs, Nail Transphobia is more than just a company, it's the way of the future. As she recently said in a Facebook Live event with Refinery29, I'm able to shout about important things that matter, so that's what I want to do, keep shouting. We totally applaud Craggs' efforts, and the world needs more people like her. That's interesting because, one, you know, it's rooted in kind of being nice, like you're doing something for somebody. I would guess it's probably mostly women who are gonna want the free manicure and whatnot. But one of the things I think is interesting about this is it kind of goes off this theory, but you know, I think, which is true, but if you meet somebody that is real and in your face, the talking points you have stop becoming a theory and start becoming reality.
Right. Because, you know, a lot of people that are racist, not just funny, it's parts of the country where niggas just ain't in the town or the city. So, yeah, it's easy to say that shit when you don't have a black person staring you in your face. And the same thing about these other groups of people. They're quote unquote, because they're probably around you, but they're, you might not know this. But once you actually see and there's a face to it, it changes your perspective. And like I said, people big and bad and cut a fool online, but when somebody looking in your face, you're not gonna, some people are crazy enough to say the same thing, but the average person is not.
Yeah, we don't know the exact number of trans people because it's not even a category on the census.
Right.
But, you know, we do know that it's not, is one, it's not always obvious to people. Two, people aren't always comfortable talking about that shit because it can be dangerous. Depending on who the fuck you're talking to.
Correct.
But it sounds like at a festival, at a museum, these are controlled spaces where hopefully you can have a discussion.
Have security.
Hopefully people come to be open-minded, right, at the events you're choosing, to be educated. But like I said, it makes shit real for people, and it's unfortunate because it really does suck. But sometimes you see conversations about people and they talk about them like the person is a concept, but not a real person.
Correct.
Like, there's no empathy in the way they talk. It's very technical and clinical. And it's why sometimes I'll shut down a discussion because I'm like, this has just become about you wanting to be educated when you could just do a Google search or read an article. You know, there's this assumption. It's like when men are talking about women on, say, Facebook, and they go, these females be doing this, that, and other. That's almost like the reason you're saying that is because it's like an assumption that no woman is seeing this. Or if she does, she just knows your heart. She knows that you must mean it in a good way. You know, that kind of thing where people say that kind of shit and it's like, oh, in this discussion, women aren't really people to you. Mm-mm. They're just a thing that we're arguing over, like a basketball stat or something. They're not a real, this isn't, you're not considering the possibility that someone's actually reading this that may be affected by your words. You applaud yourself for that,
right? Like,
you're like, oh,
something great.
Yeah, look at me, I'm academic. I was listening to somebody that was talking about how, like, you know, I don't need a safe space and all this shit the other day, and I was like, you say that because you're the person that says fucked up shit,
right?
You're not saying that because, you know, people come to you with something fucked up and you have to go, wow, I can't, okay, you're harassing me. No, you'll never feel like that. You're the harasser. So you label your fucked upness under this idea of open-mindedness when it's really just belligerence. You go around arguing with people that don't have that are, you know, inclusive and shit like that, and you make it seem like they're weak for being like, yeah man, I don't want to tolerate your ignorance on my page. I don't want to tolerate your ignorance in my life.
And obviously, out of so many groups, you got booted out. So that's your response to right. You not being included in groups.
It's everybody else's fault but yours. It's, you know, I'm just, you know, and it's the thing where, like, they always talk that game, but they don't hang around any, like, white supremacists. They don't let, like, there's no white supremacist that comes on that page every day and goes, you know, actually, you niggers are stupid or whatever. You know, like, they would not allow that disrespect to happen, but somehow they want to be able to spread that disrespect to other people.
Right.
But that's kind of like what I think happens in a lot of these conversations is, you know, it's sad because, like I said, you have to meet people where they are, but I feel like a lot of people are like, oh my god, a trans person is touching my hand and doing my nails. I guess it's not what I read on Facebook. I guess it's not
right.
The link,
the stupid meme that I saw.
I guess it's not what Fox News said. It's sad that it's that way, but, you know, much like we talk about how men having daughters and wives, a lot of times it's the shit that quote unquote wakes them up to sexual issues.
Oh, that's so fucking irritating to me. Talking to you, I had to learn how to get over that. But that's one thing that just, oh, that just burns me up. It's like, why the fuck you either gotta be related to her, fucking her, to care about her? I don't understand this concept, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone has that in a different way normally.
Correct.
Like, there's something that you just never thought about till you're like, oh shit. You know, like I said, I didn't know a person that was either not from America, or a black person that wasn't from America or was first generation American until I got to college.
Yeah, same here.
So it was a concept to me until I met somebody. I was like, oh, you're from Africa. Okay. Oh, you're from Trinidad and Tobago. Okay. Right. Okay. I got it. Like, that was just a thing in my head that I just never had thought about. I remember feeling so ignorant. I talk about this all the time, but I remember talking to my friends from Trinidad and Tobago and being like, so what was it like, man? Y'all don't have, like, running water and shit? And it was like,
what the fuck wrong with you?
Like, they started laughing so hard. And they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, I don't know, man. Y'all from a third world country. So it's like, what? Flies on y'all face and shit? And, like, you know, like, hungry dogs running around and shit? And they're like, what the fuck, where did you get that from?
Right.
I'm like, that's what I see on TV when I see black people not from America. If they not from, like, Europe or one of these white places, always like, give 20 cents and you can feed little Jabubu. And it's like, right. Angel. And I'm like, this is my American ignorance coming out. I it's not me trying to be a dick. I am being a dick. No, I'm not gonna deny it. I mean, obviously I'm being a dick, I'm stupid, but I literally don't know better. And y'all are the first people I'm meeting from somewhere not in the continental United States.
Correct.
That are black. And they're talking to me and they're like, you sound really fucking stupid. And this is what it's like in Trinidad. Does this look like we fucking don't? I mean, do we look like, you know, do I have flies on my face currently? And I'm like, no, this is, and that's how I learned I was stupid. But that's how you learn sometimes. And so maybe correct. This is something that'll help. And then with the classes, maybe that'll help too.
Yeah, educate people. Yes.
Gay couples win same pension rights as straight couples at the historical legal battle. A former cavalry officer has won a landmark legal battle to secure equal rights for gay couples over their pensions as enjoyed by heterosexual couples. John Walker, 65, battled all the way to the Supreme Court after his former bosses at Chemicals Group Innospec Limited refused to confirm that his partner could have access to his pension after his death. He argued the stance of discrimination based on his sexual orientation, meaning gay couples had less rights than heterosexual couples, despite the 2005 Equalities Act. Innospec refused to give in, insisting that because Mr. Walker, who worked for the company for 20 years, had paid into his pension scheme prior to the to his retirement in 2003, the equalities law did not count as it had not yet taken effect. But really? Just on some moral shit, really?
They tried to do technicalities, dog. People
he paid into his pension. The money is not your money anymore. Really?
Because people ain't shit, dog. Companies ain't shit. That's why people need to really watch this with them trying to tear down unions. More states are trying to come right to work states. Like, people need to watch this shit because the thing is, companies don't give zero fucks about workers.
How much fucking money could it be?
Right.
For your company's bottom line. Like, it's nothing to y'all to just do the right thing. And now you look stupid. You gotta go all the way to fucking court. And now I know your company's name because y'all are the marriage equality company, as opposed to Innospec, the chemical company, or whatever the fuck y'all do. Idiots. The court ruled in his favor, so that's good.
Yeah, hopefully they don't appeal. Just pay him. Why? You wasting money. You're wasting your company's money.
Right. Such a dumbass. How much money do they think they were gonna save? How many gay people possibly could be in that company that are gonna be like, you know what? My pension's going to a same-sex person. And then they would be like, oh no, we lost $12 billion.
Put like this. Probably the money it cost you for lawyers to fight was probably more than the person's pension plan. I'm just keeping it real, because lawyers, that shit ain't cheap.
Yeah. All right. Let's move it to some other news.
Okay.
Let's see what else we got here. Anything I feel like talking about. Am I going to have to deal with this crap another 20 weeks? A pregnant news anchor hits back at a viewer who called her baby bump disgusting in a shocking voicemail. What is wrong with people? Like, they really think they own these women's bodies because they happen to come on the air and tell you the weather every day.
Yep, and not only that, if you ever realize, and I know you talked to a meteorologist, mm-hmm. about when she, a black woman, when she cut her hair, that industry, particularly the women that are on TV like that, is very, very sexist and racist. Mm-hmm. And if you ever realize, a lot of the time, especially women that do the news, if you pay attention, a lot of times when they're pregnant, during their whole pregnancy, they wear dark colors. They wear a lot of blacks and a lot of browns and a lot of blues. You rarely see them in bright colors. And a lot of it is probably because of this bullshit right here.
Yeah, she wore red in this dress,
and it's bright, right? It's bright, mm-hmm. and it emphasizes her bump. So for a lot of people, they just have a problem with that.
Yep. A person basically wrote in and said she was wearing two tight outfits on the air. Please go to Target and buy some decent maternity clothes so you don't walk around looking like you got a watermelon strapped to your two tight outfits, the unnamed woman said.
You don't put your name on it. Wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why you wouldn't just tell the world.
Please go to Target and buy some decent maternity clothes so you don't walk around looking like you got a watermelon strapped under your two tight outfits. Target's got a great line of maternity clothes in case you've never heard of such a thing. You're getting to where you're being disgusting on the TV.
Couple things I find interesting. One, she sounds exactly how I thought somebody that calls into a news station mad about a woman's clothes sounds. Two, it was a woman. Not shocked at that either. Mm-mm. Three, great ad for Target. Target, I don't know if they paid this woman. Maybe this is a viral marketing campaign where Target just says we need to market our maternity clothes, so we need to have some actors call in. But it's a really great, I now want to go to Target and get some maternity clothes because of this woman's vouching for Targets.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, truthfully, and I might be wrong, I'm gonna tell you before I make this statement, mm-mm. but I think that most of the viewing audience that actually watches news live, like watches news and pays attention, they're old people. Like, most young people get their news and information through their apps, through their phones, through other means. They don't sit down at 6 o'clock on the dot at 5:30. That's my mama. She's been doing it forever. At 5:30, 6, you know, wake up early in the morning, 5, 5:30, 4:36, like, she watches the news. A lot of times these are older people that actually watch this shit live. They would actually give a fuck. Everybody else, you click on the clip when it comes online and where it pops up in your stream on Google.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I would add, Karen. I still feel like a black woman would not have been able to put this out, because when Rhonda Lee,
correct,
went on social media and said, look at what these people said about my hair, she ended up losing her job behind that shit by daring to just even say something. It's so fucked up, but it's true. And I'm sure our friend Nichelle can vouch for this. She works in this industry. But like, any level of retaliation against the ridiculous shit that these women experience and go through and the stupid ass complaints they get, any level of that, you normally get fired or reprimanded for even bringing attention to it. Like, if you go on a Facebook page and people call you fat and saying your clothes are slutty and shit, if you better not say nothing. You gotta sit up there and act like, well, you know, we value all the Channel 9 viewers. Like, it's amazing what they put these women through, because somebody feels ownership to their body because they see them every day. But she got to kind of talk about it. In her response to the voicemail, she began by professing her love for a job, which more often than not fills her with joy. However, she acknowledged that having to look camera ready most days of the week can be nerve-wracking, especially when pregnant. Being pregnant is already one of the most emotional, insecure times of your life. Am I gaining too much weight? Am I gaining enough weight? Is my bump too high? Is my bump too low? Are these breakouts ever going to end? Is this pregnancy making my hair dull? Why are my nail beds doing this weird thing? She wrote. Now throw yourself in front of a camera that adds 20 pounds every night. Find clothes that not only fit, but also don't make you look like a whale. And cake on enough hair and makeup products twice a day to moonlight as a Las Vegas showgirl. And you'll understand where I'm coming from. When she first heard the viewer's voicemail, the first impulse was to delete it and move on. Unfortunately, I'm pregnant, hormonal, currently not allowed to drink wine, and feeling extra in touch with my feminist side, she wrote in her blog post. Instead, the host described the thoughts she went through in her head after hearing the woman's shocking words. I'm only at week 20 of this. Am I going to have to deal with this crap another 20 weeks? Should I have my consultant or my boss call her and tell her tailored, form-fitting clothes look way better on air than baggy ones, especially when pregnant? Is that a woman who called me? Is she a mother? The freaking nerve, she wrote. Oh, yeah, see, sister would have got fired.
Yeah, anybody else would have got fired. Anybody brown would have lost their job.
Right. This was Rhonda talking about her hair. They would have been like, how dare you, Rhonda? Warren also described how the woman's comments shook her self-confidence and caused her question whether she did, in fact, look disgusting. She couldn't help but wonder which of her outfits had shocked the viewer so much she felt compelled to take the time to call Warren and leave her a body-shaming message. Man, you cannot let these haters get into your head. They are not there to add anything positive to your experience.
They are not. And the thing is, a lot of times they get joy out of catching your attention. Like, they do it just for the sole purpose of attention. They don't do it for any other reason.
Right. Nevada has a drug problem. Shops are running out of weed. Nevada officials had declared a state of emergency over marijuana because there's not enough of it. Since recreational pot became legal 2 weeks ago, retail dispensaries have struggled to keep their shelves stocked and say they will soon run out if nothing is done to fix the broken supply chain. We didn't know the demand would be this intense, Al Fasano, co-founder of the Las Vegas Relief, said Tuesday. I like how they spell relief, L-E-A-F. All of a sudden you have like 1,000 people at your door. We have to tell people we're limited in our products. In declaring a state of emergency late last week, the State Department of Taxation warned that this nascent industry could grind to a halt. As bad as that would be for marijuana consumers and the pot shops, the state has another concern, tax revenue. A 10% tax on sales of recreational pot, along with 15% on growers, is expected to generate tens of millions of dollars a year for schools and the state's general fund reserves.
Yep.
With about 100 growers in operation across Nevada, there's plenty of wholesale marijuana. The crisis has to do with the distribution and the state rules over who is allowed to transport marijuana. In the run-up to last year's state referendum over legalization, which overwhelmingly approved by voters, allowed people age 21 and over to buy or possess an ounce of the marijuana, the state's powerful alcohol lobby worried that legalized weed would cut into liquor store sales. So in concession with the alcohol industry, the ballot measure stipulated that for the first 18 months of pot sales, only wholesale alcohol distributors would be allowed to transport marijuana from cultivation facilities to the dispensaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah. And my thing, yeah, it's one of these things where you think that people that smoke weed don't drink also. Like, I don't understand. People.
It's big white man money trying to control shit. You know, these already established companies. So afraid of the competition, because honestly people might stop drinking as much if they can smoke.
Yeah, now that's true. Yeah,
you know, it doesn't impair you as much as alcohol,
right?
You know, so I can see people being nervous and being like, competition. I mean, keep in mind, this is why it's not legal in the first place in a lot of places. It's not because we're like, it's so much more dangerous than alcohol. It's because alcohol already has its foot in all the money and pockets of politicians and lawmakers, so they're not trying to deal with this competition, you know, and they're not really set up to just take over the industry. Shit, if alcohol people felt like they could sell weed as well as alcohol, it would flow so freely in this country. But to them, it's a competition, it's a revenue stream that could damage theirs. So yeah, they made the stupid ass rule, and now the state, who's basically probably budgeted and planned something with the money for that budget, won't even be able to make ends meet with this shit. And now it's gonna be time to.
I said, you know, they don't give a fuck.
Now it's time to call Leon and the boys and put them in jail for selling drugs. Yeah, to meet the demand that y'all couldn't meet with the government.
Right, people trying to do it the right way.
Right. Dispensaries and state officials had anticipated the problem in late June. The Department of Taxation attempted to loosen the licensing rule to allow dispensaries to transport their own marijuana, but a district court judge blocked the request. I wonder why.
Because somebody from the alcohol and tobacco industry is paying him.
Right. He was like, I would let y'all do that, but see the way my bank account is set up, if y'all do that, I'm gonna be losing money. So
yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do, because it only lasts for 18 months. After 18 months, all, you know, people are, well, they do fucked up shit, they're probably passing the law extended longer, but after 18 months, quote unquote, everybody, you know, that law is supposed to be off the books so people can do what they need to do.
Yep, that's amazing though that it comes to that.
I never really thought about that, but yeah, if because a lot of people would smoke and would be like, well, since I'm doing this and I can actually function a little bit better, I'm not gonna drink no more. I never would have thought about that, but yeah, that makes sense. But some people do both.
I'm not making an argument that they won't do both,
right?
But just I can see why they would be scared, because it'll have less negative effects. Like, there's no weed head anonymous shit, but there's all kinds of alcohol's destroyed a lot of lives. I'm sure weed can. Mm-hmm. But not by itself. You can't OD on weed and shit, you know. A lot less fatalities dealing with it. Chipotle is making its own queso after refusing to for years.
Why would they refusing to? I know a lot of people ask. I mean, because don't nobody want that goddamn salsa. That nasty ass salsa.
Well, they're caving in because there's a lot of demand, Karen.
Yeah, people are like, everybody else got a cheese sauce. Where your cheese sauce?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they once trashed queso on the internet, and they had a YouTube ad that talked bad about queso, but they took it down. They wasn't hating on the melty cheese itself, but on the fact that it's nearly impossible to make without stabilizers and other artificial ingredients that go against Chipotle's mantra. According to Vice, it seems they figured out a way to do that, though, because the chain's new public test kitchen in New York City is offering up queso as an option. So they're at least testing it. There's no timetable when it will become part of the official menu, but the Chipotle wars have started with Qdoba now.
Mm-hmm. Because that's their biggest competition, because 9 times be funny. I know people love moles, but when people talk about it, moles ain't, I'm not a fan of moles. I don't think they got cheese sauce either.
What do you mean?
Moles don't got no cheese sauce, or do they?
Moe's, I think Moe's does. Moe's do. Does.
Okay,
it's very bland. Yeah, I don't like good. It. Yeah, I did not think it was very good. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have had it, but it's pretty trash.
Yeah, it's bland, and that's the thing. It's like, if you're gonna have it, at least make shit be good. Because I understand that, like, yeah, we thinking about it, but honey, if it ain't good, it ain't gonna make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's good, you know. I mean,
I hope it's good. It depends on your definition of good. A lot of times white folks be like, this is yummy, and you be like, that shit is nasty, and where's the, where at least put the paprika in, damn.
All right, I agree. A flight attendant smashed wine bottles on a man who tried to open the exit door midair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. It's Nitty, right? Where my girls at? Let's go. Yeah, yeah. It's a girl song, man. Okay. Let's go. Yeah, yeah. For the girl, what we gonna do, man? I'm gonna talk about them girls in the club, man. You know I got some rider girls in here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Miss Bahia.
Yeah, yeah.
Nitty collabo. Okay.
Listen, not all heroes wear capes, but motherfucker try to open up that door in the middle of the air by any means necessary.
They was like, what you ain't gonna do is kill us today.
Come on, I have seen this movie before. You cannot, this ain't a bus.
Come on.
You can't just stop and get off when you want to. The fuck was you planning on going, man?
It's a one-way trip.
Come on. I'm supposed to die because you ready to go? I guess it's my time to die. Well, it's not my time to die, bitch.
Come on.
Right upside your motherfucking head. And I will cheer that. I will buy that person a drink.
I don't argue. I just hit that bitch with a bottle. I hit that bitch with a bottle. Don't bottle. I just hit that bitch.
Come on, man.
I'll bust your ass upside the head, too. We thousands of feet in the air.
It was a Seattle to Beijing flight. In the melee with bottles of wine, and they became weapons. Joseph Hudek IV was subdued by multiple people. He and more than 200 other people were aboard the plane when it took off about 5 p.m. from Seattle Tacoma International Airport. Nothing about his background, as described in the FBI affidavit, seemed extraordinary. He was 23, flying on a dependent pass, which an airline spokesman told the Seattle Times was something issued to relatives of Delta employees. Oh, well, I guess if he would have had some tights on, y'all would have been a little more restrictive.
Come on.
Hudek had ordered a single beer before takeoff and appeared sober. They were crossing over Vancouver Island when he rose from his first class seat. First class? Damn, you get first class for them tickets? Walked into the bathroom. He was inside about 2 minutes, according to affidavit. Then he lunged toward the front, the forward right exit door of the aircraft, grabbing the handle and tried to pull it open. Holy shit.
So he was at the front of the plane.
Two flight attendants immediately stopped him, wrote an FBI agent who later interviewed people on the plane. They called for help when he pushed them away and kept trying to force the lever that held the door into place. Dustin Jones, seated just behind first class curtains, told Kiro TV that a flight attendant ran toward the back of the plane and announced code 3. Flight attendant asked the passengers for help and called the pilot. The pilot reported the emergency and swung the plane back towards Seattle. A second attendant tried to keep him subdued, but was punched and knocked to the ground. A man got out of the seat to help. Witnesses would tell the FBI that Hudek punched him in the face repeatedly and hit him with a bottle of red wine, of which several were lying around. Having fought off the initial resistance, the FBI wrote, Hudek went back to the door and kept working on the lever. By now, other passengers were scared. Hudek had raised the lever halfway up.
Holy shit!
Flight crew members would later tell the FBI agent that had the plane been flying at a lower altitude, the door would have came open. A flight attendant picked up a wine bottle, then a second one, and smashed them over his head. Hudek then did not seem impacted by the breaking of a full liter red wine bottle over his head. Yeah, the ones that break don't hurt as bad. And instead shouted, "Do you know who I am?" or something to that extent. He kept fighting, according to the affidavit, breaking from a passenger's headlock and struggled even after multiple passengers had joined the fray, but he was outnumbered and eventually subdued and held down in the galley, zip ties fastened his limbs, while the flight attendant told the passenger to return the lever to its proper place. The U.S. Attorney's Office charged him with interfering with a flight crew and released a photo of the gallery taken after the plane landed back at Seattle Airport. It would look like a trashed hotel room, dishes smashed, food strewn beneath the exit sign, the door and carpet sprayed with red wine or worse. Somebody had blood on their shirt, passenger Brittany Gardner told Cairo TV. Even after all that, Jones told Cairo Hildak's energy had still not been exhausted. He turned the wheelchair over in the middle of the airport, screaming for people to help him.
Oh, he was as high as a kite.
Yeah, what was up with that dude?
You had to for that much, you exhausting that much energy, you had to be high. Like it's some other force behind that.
No, hell no.
Yeah, I'd have bust your ass upside the head with a bottle too.
Oh, shout out to that flight attendant. Not all heroes wear capes.
Right, they were like, you ain't fine. Don't worry, I just hit that bitch with a bottle.
Now, could be worse, I guess. What's worse than that? A woman claims American Airlines staff left her sleeping in her seat as the man next to her masturbated during a transatlantic flight.
What?
A woman claims to have been left sleeping in her seat by American Airlines staff while the man next to her masturbated. Chloe King, a New York-based PR and social media manager for the upscale department store Bergdorf Goodman, described the horrifying experience on the Medium, on a post on the Medium. In the piece, the 30-year-old described how the man was sitting between her and another woman on the plane when they took off from New York at the end of May. She fell asleep, and the man, who was not identified, began masturbating, she said. According to Ms. King, airline staff moved the other woman in the row, but left her asleep on the window seat. I mean, you don't want to wake her up, I guess. You know, she's sleeping comfortably, and he's just got his dick in his hand going to work. Shortly before landing, after she woke up, a flight attendant pulled her to the back of the plane to tell her what had happened and inform her that the man would be arrested at the airport in Paris. Well, now you tell me. Rather than allow her to sit elsewhere, the woman said she was forced to return to the shared row and climb over the man to return to the window seat until landing. Was he still masturbating or just? The woman to his other side saw it happen and asked to be moved, and the French police had been notified to arrest the man upon landing, and they just wanted to let me know. What they didn't do was wake me up and move me to a safe place. What they didn't do was accommodate my request after informing me of the assault to sit anywhere else on the plane for landing. Instead, they made me climb back over the sex offender, trapped between him and the window for the rest of the flight. I was shaking and crying, trying not to get sick, she wrote. After landing, well, I mean, he's never gonna finish now, you know. That's nobody's dream. After landing, the woman said she approached American Airlines staff at Paris Airport, but was met with blank stares. Well, she kind of, wow. He was jacking off, and it was terrible. What do you want us to do about it? I mean, come on. It's a free country. Were you over the international waters? Because, you know, ain't no laws out there. Well, she contacted the airline's head office. She said she received nothing more than an email, which acknowledged the disappointing service. I'll never know what exactly happened on that flight, but I do know I'll never feel completely safe flying again. Add an American Airlines airplane to the long list of places where, as a woman, I feel anxious and vulnerable. Yeah, I mean, come on, dog. That's pretty bad. I mean, were there no seats? What the fuck? Why couldn't you just be like, all right? I mean, can you at least move her to the aisle seat and make him have a window? I mean, come on.
I mean, you moved the other woman.
Yeah. So we know her seat was available at least. So move him to the, I don't know. And why did no one make him stop?
Hello.
She shared it to Facebook and wrote alongside her friends, please read, I was a victim of sexual crime on a recent airline flight. Please choose any other airline. So they didn't even say if the dude got arrested.
Yes, he was supposed to be.
Yep, that's weird. Another weird thing to happen to a woman on a flight.
Come on, and nobody gives a fuck.
Yep. All right, let's see what else we got here. I guess we can let me pull this back up. I guess we can move to another section. How about some fucking with black people, y'all? Yay. Where my song at? We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking With Black People. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. All right. Let's see who's fucking with us now.
Everybody.
Whoopi Goldberg went in on DeRay McKesson. Went in, Karen. She went in. Yeah. You know how Whoopi gotta let y'all know. It's weird because I like Whoopi Goldberg is one of those people where I like that she is a loud, outspoken, older black woman that just don't give a fuck what nobody thinks. I like that about her. It's her most endearing quality. You know where you stand with Whoopi. But man, listen. What the hell? But listen, that fucking show, The View,
is terrible.
It's terrible.
It is.
It literally is the most lowest information, have to have a hot take show. It's basically right. First Take, but with pop culture.
Right, and so not trying to be funny. That's why when people are co-hosts, so you know, because they go through a series of different women over the years, and they actually read the articles that they get, and they're actually trying to have a conversation. They end up leaving because they're like, "Oh, these bitches are dumb. I'm good."
Right. Well, he apparently erroneously, DeRay, claimed that War for the Planet of the Apes was personally slandering him because there's a poster that came out, some of the promotional materials, which came out a month ago, but they recently were, you know, the movie's coming out tomorrow. It recently, you know, the posters have been circulating the internet, and Hotep Twitter got a hold of them. And of course, Hotep's gonna Hotep. So one of the apes in the promotional materials is wearing a blue vest. Everybody knows DeRay is iconic for that blue vest that he wears, and people were like, see what they don't respect, these white people don't respect Black Lives Matter, look what they did to DeRay. And I think he saw, and that's the thing, a lot of times when information is presented to you in a certain framing, when you first see it, it's easy to pick it up because you're just like, oh well, this must be what happened. And a few people, and it wasn't just him, a bunch of people felt this way. Like I saw it, I got text about it from a couple people, and I was like, yeah, you know, as a Planet of the Apes fan, I'm like, right. Yeah, that's not what that is, but
because we watched the movies and we're gonna, you know, I'm not trying to find the people who made the decision, probably don't even know who he is, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, but odds are he's not in their radar or they're not thinking about him when they're making these executive decisions.
Right. So he saw it and DeRay felt, you know, offended because, like most black people, if you show us a fucking an ape that resembles us and, you know, whatever, he is a prominent figure in the movement for Black Lives. He's a you know, a person that people know, he's been on TV and all this shit. It's not so far-fetched to think for him to think like this could be like a shot at me or something, or you know, but no, if you watch the movies, you know, even if that would have been the case, it wouldn't have been a shot to be like one of the apes is, I mean, you could probably sue him, you know, for using a likeness or some shit, but
correct,
but it's not a shot to be one of the apes. Like the apes are the good guys in the movie, but
right,
and it does really, really have some racial overtones to it.
It does.
But the point being, you know, I can understand why he would get you know, would feel that way, you know. Here we go again with the damn website. All right. So people were basically going on and being like, it's him, I laugh my ass off. They, you know, clowning, saying it was DeRay and shit like that. They have a toy called the Bad Ape, and it has the vest. But this literally goes back to 1968 with this vest and the ape and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So DeRay saw the pictures from it and said, given the history of rendering black people as apes, I'm offended and appalled by the lack of consciousness in Hollywood, # Planet of the Apes. It comes out, this has a history. DeRay sees that, okay, cool, deletes the tweets. Just like, I don't even know how long the tweets was up. It didn't even seem that long, because I remember seeing it retweeting and being like, damn, for real, looking at the old promotional shit and being like, oh wait, no, that vest thing has been around for a long time. You know, they might have updated it, but it's still the same idea.
All right, same concept.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, not that big a deal. I understand how he could get caught up in that, because to be honest, like I've said this before on the show, if y'all have some misgivings about the dude, fine, but I would suggest you check his mentions too.
Come on, they be on fire.
I would just suggest you check his mentions. No, I have a lot of activists that interact with me on Twitter. That dude is literally the only one that, no matter what he says, I get a bunch of troll tweets afterwards.
No matter what, if he at you, if he retweets you,
people calling me nigger, people pushing death threats on him. Yep. It doesn't matter if he's, because you know, if he's retweeting me, it's normally for some bullshit like, oh man, I love apple turnovers from McDonald's, and then it's die nigger, burn in hell, and I'm just like, what? I can see how you might feel like it might make you a little bit quote unquote paranoid.
Right, because a lot of people that have a tendency to dismiss activism and the people that do this online don't really understand the harassment that some of them get just for the fact that people know who they are.
Yeah, like it's one thing to get your laugh out on or whatever. Right. I get that. I mean, players fuck up, and you know, if you think it's funny, that's cool. But it wasn't even that shit. It was just straight up like, you know, this is why I don't fuck with that nigga, and oh, you so important, you narcissist. I'm like, people talking about DeRay thinks he's so important and then spend an hour in a Twitter feed talking about him.
Almost like Beyonce, you only tweet about it because the event happened.
That's a very weird, if you can't connect the dots on that yourself, that is a very, like, I think people just have these fucking agendas. They don't like people.
Right. There's
a lot of jealousy in the activism space. There's a lot of disagreement with people's tactics in the activism space. And then there's a lot of people that ain't even activists. They just sit on the sideline, talk shit about everybody trying to do something while they don't do nothing. And all that shit, I try to tune out because it's so fucking negative. It's so often that it's from somebody that's literally not doing shit.
Come on.
So often. You know, and they just, you know, people pick their favorite people, but then they also pick their people that's going to be their least favorite.
Right.
And that's within that space, there are people that have dirt on each other, that are activists and shit, that, you know, have their own reasons for not liking each other. But mm-hmm. I'm not privy to all that shit. Mm-mm. So it's kind of interesting to see people try to turn on the dude over a fucking tweet, you know. Now, the good news is, like most things on Twitter, in an hour, in 24 hours, in 2 days, it won't even matter. But Whoopi Goldberg talked about it on The View, and she basically went in. Let me see if I can play this. There we go. But yeah, she went in kind of hard on it.
Yes, I am.
I'm so jealous.
I know you are.
You could go.
Oh,
is it in the theater?
Okay. No, it's not in the theater, but I'll take you if you want to go.
Thank you, Whoopi.
But there's already controversy. It's insane. Prominent Black Lives Matter activist DeRay McKesson accused filmmakers of personally mocking him by dressing up an ape in a blue vest, which he's been known to wear. DeRay, you need to go back and watch the 1968 original and check out what the apes were wearing. This has nothing to do with you. This is a movie that was about what happens when mankind doesn't pay attention to environment, to how we treat animals and each other. That's what that movie was about. And at the end of the movie, when they're riding around and you realize it's here, that's what the movie was about. Get over yourself. Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. Maybe he wasn't alive and aware of the 1968 version of the movie. Shit happens all the time. It's just a faux pas on social media that we all could just go, I understand how you made that mistake, and move on. You know, no harm, no foul, tweets deleted, didn't say boycott this movie or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And instead, you know, it's on The View the next day, and that's the difference. I can fuck up on Twitter. Whoopi Goldberg won't be talking shit about my ass within 12 hours of me fucking up.
The average person can fuck up on Twitter and you won't be top of it. And a lot of time misinformation. He's not a part of Black Lives Matter. And everybody like to throw people to anybody to speak out or a spoken person. And you black, for some reason, you in this group.
And they expect we got to the point where, because so much of social media is branding and so many people are interested in making a brand, we really expect everybody on social media to be fully polished PR machines all the time,
right?
You know, it's just interesting. So yeah, he did say, like, look, Whoopi, if you have something to say, you know, let me know, because I'm here. And then he went on to say, like, look, I deleted those tweets because people pointed out to me that, hey, this is not what you think it is. And, you know, I realized, okay, it has a history to this character that I wasn't aware of. Delete. To me, it seemed like no harm, no foul. That should be the end of the shit. But, you know, it had to keep going.
Yeah, and then the thing is, it's a lot of ain't shit black people out there who follow a lot of activists and a lot of people that are doing good in the world, and their whole goal is to see them fuck up, quote unquote, unquote, regardless if it's a real fuck up or not. But just that a lot of people are into that dragging community, like their whole thing is to drag. You know, sometimes drags are, you know, sometimes it's deserving, don't get me wrong, but some people, that's their whole thing, they live for that. So he admitted, my bad, he deleted it, but you have people that literally, this is an excuse, right, to tell the world how they felt about this nigga anyway.
Yeah, one of the things I said after I saw this was, it was funny because it's not a rap or anything, but it rhymed, but I was like, they want to see you stumble so they can keep you humble, but keep your eyes on the prize, rumble, young man, rumble, because ultimately that's one of the things I've been peeping for a while now, is how much of the gotcha shit is really about just keeping you from feeling yourself. Like, they don't want you to feel like you dope, and it extends beyond activism and shit, just in general, anybody doing anything, there's a bunch of people watching you that act like they in your corner, but they not in your corner.
No, they not.
They want to do the most they can to keep you as miserable as they are and drag you down to whatever the fuck they think you should be. They have all these ideas for what they think you should be rotating, what orbit you should be in, and what lane you should be in. But at the end of the day, man, everybody trying to make the best of the situation they put on this earth with. So if you're out here, you know, doing good work, you know, doing the things you think that matter, and some motherfucker sees you fuck up, they want to leave you stuck in your fuck up. They want you to feel bad, like, you fucked up, you can't move beyond that. Anytime someone brings up your name, I'm going to come back to this moment, and this is the only thing I'm going to let define you. Nothing else, nothing you've done good, nothing you've done since, everything comes back to this one thing. That's how people feel these days, and I don't think it's real, because, you know, on the internet it feels real, but in real life, I watch too many people prosper to think that's real, that you can really hold somebody to one point. Too many people are prospering that are just fucking bad. So good people, you know, same rules apply, man. You can't let people hold you down. Like, you show contrition, you understand that, you know, players fuck up, you made a mistake, you own it, like he did when he was tweeted that, hey, I fucked up, my bad, y'all. That should be the end.
Right, and the thing is, I a lot for change, but I'm also not dumb, so I look at the pattern and go, hey, you still doing the same fucked up shit you did 5 years ago, whatever, like that's completely different than you fucked up, and I could see a progression of the change. Those right. Two things are not the same.
So yeah, 0 to 100.
Zero for him, 100 for Whoopi. Because you're the same woman that defended rapist, dog.
And she defended Bill Cosby till she had to get pulled off the air. She's the same woman that defended blackface from Ted Danson a long time ago. I mean,
Roman Polanski,
right? She pretty much defends Hollywood at all costs, anyways. And this is a chance to go in on somebody that you really, it, like, real talk, for what they do at The View, it's really not news.
Mm-mm.
But they want to make him look silly, because ultimately, I believe they want to make the cause of the people that are fighting for black lives look silly.
Right, and what's even bigger, I guarantee you, most of them white women up there don't know who the fuck he is. The audience don't know who he is. And I don't mean that in, like, don't know who he is, but most of them may have heard of him, but they don't run in social media and things like that where most people know him from. Or either they know of him from afar off. And you know what? didn't know these white women say anything about him. Now, did they?
Yeah, I mean, it gets licensed out to the black person on the staff normally. But the thing I was saying is, like, whether they know him or not, because honestly, it's really inconsequential.
Right.
Because you may know DeRay. I mean, he's got a podcast now. He's been on TV shows. He's been interviewed. Like, he's great at branding. Regardless of what people think about the dude, he's fucking media savvy as fuck. There's gonna be people that try to just kind of take you down, not because of this other shit, but because of what you represent, which is, if we can make him look silly, if he looked silly on Twitter for 2 hours, then we can extend that to, isn't he just silly? Isn't everything he talking about just wrong and bad? Should we ever pay attention when he tweets out statistics about something with that black people getting killed? When he signal boosts an article about an officer getting off of murder? Isn't he just a silly person? I mean, he thought he was an ape, guys. He thought he was an ape. That's why it fucks with me. Cause it's like, he wasn't perfect 100% of the time, guys. And really, it's time to stop paying attention to all this shit. Cause that's ultimately the goal. It's why I'm probably a little bit hyper defensive of activists in general.
Yeah, me too.
And just, agree or disagree with them in general, I'm a little bit more empathetic towards them. Mm-hmm. Because I know the ultimate goal is to discredit everything they do.
Everything, dog.
It's not gonna stop with just like, well, this one time he said this thing, and that's why I don't fuck with him. It's gonna be like, and that's why I don't fuck with black people and their movement. I don't fuck with anybody who's talking bad about police. I don't fuck with anybody that says we can do better as a country. I don't fuck with any of it. It's what's happening in the Kaepernick. All of a sudden, he can't play football ever. He's terrible. He's trash, and there's no redemption, and he can never possibly improve. Why? Because isn't he just silly? Isn't it? And if he looks silly, and he lost his job for being silly, then doesn't Black Lives Matter, isn't that really silly? Isn't saying the police should stop killing black people, isn't that just a silly thing? Can't we all agree? That's really what it often comes down to. So maybe I'm a bit hyper defensive of it, but this one just felt like a nothing thing that became something. I can't believe The View even talked about this shit.
Right.
Jason Whitlock says fighting against racism is stupid during a bizarre anti-Kaepernick rant. He says on his Embrace Debate hashtag with a caller from Ohio named Abed, who dared defend Kaepernick's protest by pointing out that it was a selfless act, Whitlock wasn't having it. You can have that point of view. There are others like myself who think he is doing this for himself, that this is about working through his identity issues and building the Kaepernick brand. I disagree with you. You can have your opinion, but there are those of us who think he started this trying to build his own brand. It wasn't really about the country.
Bitch, you got your own brand. Your brand is talking on this TV show. What the fuck are you talking about?
Because he can't imagine, because he's a brand. Fake people see fake people everywhere. You see what I'm saying? Like, Kaepernick gotta be fake because Jason Whitlock is fake.
Okay.
Kaepernick makes Jason Whitlock feel like the coward that he pretends not to be. That's what it is. Like, Jason Whitlock is basically a fucking echo chamber for white, fragile, older male racist.
Mm-hmm.
And he says whatever it takes to impress them, and has done it to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point. So much so that anyone else that disagrees with him that is black, he goes, they're just doing it for a show. Because he can't imagine having fucking integrity. He can't imagine what it would feel like to say, there are some things I won't say, not even for a check. So that's, to me, that's where he's at. Abed, let me ask you this. Why do you think attention is some great solution? Oh, you got to have attention. A lot of progress is made quietly, and the kind of progress he's talking about is going to happen in Congress with our lawmakers in order to improve things he's talking about, or I think he's talking about. What does that mean, bro? Do you understand that? Because people like him worship like Martin Luther King and shit. What, that wasn't trying to get attention? Like,
being sick by dogs on TV wasn't.
I think the romanticization of that era has really left people they are intellectually devoid of being able to analyze that shit.
Right.
Like, these were savvy branding motherfuckers. That's why they got some things done. It's because they were savvy. They were willing to. Do you understand? Martin Luther King's whole point was, a non-violent peaceful protest is actually a violent, not peaceful protest.
Come on.
It is always going to be, because white people are going to come in with dogs and batons and guns and hoses, and they're going to fuck us up. But what they had in the 60s that they hadn't had all those other years were cameras that could record and go live and be on the nightly news that night. So you watching me as a black person get my motherfucking ass beat on camera with a dog sicked on me, that was for a greater cause of shaming the country.
Having that shit going all over the world now.
Right, shaming this country in front of its allies, all the shit America pretends to be, all the props that we demand, all the, we saved you in World War II because we would never let the Hitler do the Jews like that. And it's like, you do your own people like that.
Yeah, send them over to war, they come back and they still call the nigga.
Right, so it was a time, it was savvy. But we've romanticized it, and he was just black Jesus. He just, I forgive you, forgive them for what, not for what they do, you know, that shit. When it's like, that's not at all what he was thinking. This was a strategy, dog.
Right.
Same thing Kaepernick's doing. It's a strategy. This attention that he's getting is it shames our country. It makes us look bad. I see how black people talk about us that aren't from here, and they're like, God damn, America is racist as fuck.
Right.
Y'all won't give a dude a job because he said the cops shouldn't just kill unarmed black people? Wow, that's a controversial thing to say over there. You know, other countries are looking down on us. Election of Trump, they look down on us.
Right.
We're fucking laughing stock.
Of the world, dog. Of the world, Craig.
He said, this whole let's take on racism in America, that's so big, that's the equivalent of let's fight air in the world. Racial bigotry and unfairness along racial lines has been in the world since the beginning of time. It's not going to go away. So don't even do nothing, y'all. We're trying to fix people's feelings, and I don't think what Kaepernick understands and some other people don't understand. In the 1960s, we're about changing, fixing laws. In America, you can address laws, you can't legislate feelings, and it's stupid. I swear to God, there's somebody in the 60s that was saying this on a radio station somewhere. Mm-hmm. Swear to God, there's somebody be like, mm-hmm, you just want to change feelings. Well, you can't make me not be racist to these niggers. I don't care what law you pass. Jesus Christ, idiot. What an idiot. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Black Rob says the problem today is white people have no shame. No, man, they've never had shame. They've never had shame. That's not, they need to own slaves. They've never had shame. As Chris Rock said, and I do believe it, and Obama says it too, and I agree with him, these are the best white people that white people have to offer. 20 years from now, those will be the best white people. White people wasn't better in the past. They've always been worse than this. We look around because we living through it and go, this is the worst. Yes, and it was worse than this.
Right.
Some people had it even worse than this shit. It's crazy to imagine. We're more privy to their in every thought now because of social media and shit, and more track, we're able to track more data, we're able to see more shit live and in person. Like, we are able to catch it quicker now, hacked emails and all this shit. But end of the day, this is the best the fucking white people have ever offered, and it still is not up to snuff.
Nope.
Next session. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's also it's one of the things, too, like you say, when you're living through something, your views, I'm not going to say they're skewed, but your views are completely different.
Work in the field.
That's part of that.
Senator, I'm a house nigga.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Your views are a little different than, quote-unquote, looking at the past and fantasizing.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, it's just hard to imagine, but yeah, it's always been worse. The same thing when people try to, you know, say shit like, you know, with the internet, man, men are so much worse than that. I miss when men were good and decent and chivalrous. It's like they never were any of that. You know, those men were rapists and slave owners and child molesters and shit, and they were, you know, white men were able to write laws where you didn't count as a person. Right. No, it is better today than it ever was. It just still sucks. You know, doesn't mean you have to go, well, it's better today, the end. It goes, it's better today, and I appreciate that. I understand people went through worse things.
But I'm going to demand
But this shit
better.
Ain't good. It ain't like I'm coming around going, well, the work is done. It's not done. It's never done. But, yeah, this stupid ass nigga talking about some don't fight racism is too big. Shut up. because once you start legislating feelings, the next thing you know, they're legislating my feelings, my father's feelings, and it's not the right thing to do. It can't be done. It will lead to anarchy and rebellion. You can't start legislating people's feelings, and again, many of my feelings are inappropriate. I don't want them legislated against. Well, that's because you're also a bigot piece of shit, motherfucker. 0 to 100. Yeah.
He's on that permanent 100 list because every time he come up, he always saying some ignorant shit.
What a dumbass, man. He's just a evil motherfucker. Like, he'll do anything for a check, man. It's sad to see that shit, but he been like that for a long ass time. I been said that about dude. People. Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? The Root published this. The Writers Union prepares to take Ebony to court.
Holy shit.
It's been a couple of months since hashtag Ebony O's became a trending hashtag after several freelancers complained about not getting paid.
I remember seeing that, and it was a lot of people that we even know mm-hmm. that was all up in there like, hey, y'all owe me some money.
People were getting paid way too late. And it was funny because then Ebony tweeted out during all this shit. They blocked all those people. Then they had tweeted out at some point this cryptic tweet about, like, we talking about tens of dollars, not thousands of dollars or something like that. So it's like, well, now you just let everybody know you don't pay people much at all.
So you're gonna lose some writers.
Well, I'm not saying you're gonna lose. I mean, you're already losing these writers. I'm saying right. You let us know that you don't really pay your workers. And then on top of that, you don't pay them a lot. Like, you underpay them when you do pay them, and you don't pay them anyway in the first place. Yeah, Ebony, which is owned by Clearview Group, did not meet its own deadline to pay as much as $200,000 that's owed to about 50 freelancers. CVG said that it would pay the writers by the end of June, but now it's July 12th. This is completely unacceptable to NWU. President Larry Goldbetter said about the missed deadline in the press release. We took them at their word in good faith, despite some freelancers going more than a year without payment. Now we move to the next step. Creators don't work for free, and there are very real consequences when we don't get paid. While Ebony Media executives from CVG were throwing lavish Super Bowl parties and Hollywood events, unpaid freelancers were struggling to pay the rent. One writer, Kimberly Hayes Taylor, who was a caregiver for an ill patient, spoke about how missing payments had affected her family. This whole situation is already heartbreaking enough. The stress of not getting paid and having no idea when that will happen makes it even worse. Ebony Magazine has created a great hardship for us, and I resent it after the excellent job I've done for them. Apparently not payment is a rampant issue across the board. Ebony's not the only offender. It's epic for most freelancers.
Right, because they think that you're supposed to do your service for free, because I think a lot of times they're like, well, you just ought to be glad that we even looked at you because of our name. Bitch, that don't make me no money.
And because Aisha is so petty and she wrote this article, she said they definitely aren't hearing from writers from The Root because she's petty and she worked for The Root. I love a petty ass though. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100 for them.
Yeah. Sorry, Ebony, but that's 100, yeah, dog.
Pay your people, dog. Pay your people.
Come on, man. You gotta pay your people, man. Come on. White people already don't fuck with us, but we can't let them beat us in that. Just because it's a black business don't mean we can lower the standards
right.
of professionalism for that kind of shit, man. You gotta pay your people, man.
Mm-hmm. And if after a while you get the reputation of not paying, you're not gonna have no writers.
Mm-hmm. Because motherfuckers ain't this... work ain't free,
right? You gonna fuck around and have them ebonic writers and people that don't know how to use comments and semicolons and misspell words and shit. That's what happened when you don't get people that know how to write.
A Maryland doctor writes a prescription for surviving police encounters. A Maryland emergency room doctor wants to save lives, but his prescription doesn't involve new medications or safety equipment. He's targeting young men and hopes more of them will come home safely after encounters with the police. Dr. Jeffrey Mount Varner of Bowie said that humility and respect are the keys to surviving interactions with the police and avoiding a trip to ER. Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Mount Varner said his son and the realization that his 11-year-old boy was old enough to be killed by police motivated him to write a book detailing steps the public, especially young black men, can take to safely negotiate traffic stops and other routine encounters. His self-published book, Home Alive, 11 Rules for Must Rules for Surviving Encounters with the Police, is not intended to be a cure-all or policy prescription to reduce the number of people killed at the hands of the police each year, he said. He calls it a way to bridge the gap. Mount Varner has worked at several area hospitals in D.C. and Baltimore. He also served as an interim EMS medical director for 3 years in D.C. mayoral administrations. For three D.C. mayoral administrations. And at the emergency medical doctor, as the emergency medical doctor, Mount Varner has treated patients who were shot by police, but he also treated wounded officers. De-escalated tense situations will save lives, both the officers and the members of the public, he said. His top tip, be humble. It seems simple, but at the end of the day, an officer wants to feel respected, Mount Varner said. It doesn't matter who you are. The officer on the scene, he controls that scene. He or she expects you to treat him with respect and deference. He also recommends not making any sudden moves. Instead, ask permission before taking any actions, like reaching for your insurance information or grabbing a wallet. Mount Varner, who is black and grew up in Prince George's County, also offered what may seem like anachronistic advice in modern America. Don't look the officer in the eye. Are you really doing the don't eyeball me, boy? You put that in a book in 2017? You eyeballing me, boy? That's how you get killed.
This nigga.
Wow. You don't want to give him any reason to think you are challenging him. People call it demeaning, but keep in mind the goal is to make a home alive. Said, once again, there are steps people can take to file grievances, to dispute tickets or charges after the encounter. The need to educate the public on how to safely interact with the police has also caught the attention of state lawmakers in Virginia. A new law kicked in Saturday that requires schools to teach young drivers about appropriate behavior during traffic stops as part of driver's education instruction. Other states, including North Carolina and Illinois, are considering similar driver's ed requirements. This book is available for sale on Amazon. Zero to 100, Karen.
Oh, he gets 100.
What does he think we are doing in the cars? Has he seen any of the videos? Does he even watch those things? You think they pull over for Lando Castile and he looked at the cops? He was like,
"Kiss me outside, how about that?"
That's not what happened. That's not what's happening. Jesus Christ, man. 100. What a idiot.
Correct.
Jesus Christ, man. All right, we gotta move into something more positive, guys. Let's do some white people news. All right, guys, I know you look forward to this the most.
I know y'all been anything. Y'all looking forward to it
every day. I get plenty of thousands of tweets. You think I was DeRay? How many people get in my mentions to thank me for these great acoustic covers for these white people news songs?
Hey guys, this one goes out to all the people who don't believe that I know how to make us all money online and through other revenue streams. Doesn't cost anybody any money. The idea is in my last video, it's probably up there right now, and just watch that video and I'll tell you everything pretty much, and I'll give some more information out in the future. But for now, it's all
get to playing the song. Damn.
It was all a dream. Used to read Word Up magazine. Saw him turn every day up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday I ride the taxis to Magic Wand Mall. I love to take rock.
Oh.
Rock to my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on bourbon stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack, but they had to match. Remember rapping to
Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Blow up like the World Trade. Opposite of a killer. Gardein for dinner. Yeah, ski. Like the sun I would. Same hood, it's all good. And if you don't know, now you know. Nigga. Brother. That ain't what it say. Who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Reach for the stars. You gotta go, but not that many. You're the only one giving good and plenty. Lord Robin Leach. All day. It's the Brooklyn way. And Alizé got me tipsy. Cause they miss me. This rapping stuff. With the cats and stuff. Like butter dude toast. East Coast. Sold out to hear Biggie Small speak. Just here. Crunches. Out of high school. Misunderstood. And it's still all good. And if you don't know, now you know. Brother. Brother-in-law. Who you are.
Brother.
Don't let them hold you down. Reach for the stars. You had to go, but not that many. You're the only one. When I was dead broke, man, couldn't. Sofa. My accountant handles that. No more public housing. What you know about that, Brett? Landlord missed us. Christmas missed us. Worst days. Now we sip champagne with Thursday. Hey, if I live, cause I went from negative to positive, and it's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, my brother. You know very well who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Sing it, audience. Put on the star. He had to go, but not that many. You're the only one.
Everybody on the right side. Can't roll with you.
Mm-mm. Damn, we only got 2,000 views. Yeah, we got 3 thumbs down too. Well, we appreciate you. Lightning the mood, buddy. It's better than all the other shit we was don't talk about.
What?
All right. Let's get to this white people news, my brothers. If you don't know, now you know, brother.
Please, I look. What y'all not gonna do is come in here and light my mentions up at all. Y'all been gonna be mad. Now you ain't gonna be mad at me for saying nigga.
Let's see how white we can go, guys.
pretty white over here.
From Jason Whitlock and that coon doctor to this. Don't get no whiter than transition. I'm not even gonna do that, y'all, man. No. Trump is terrible. Newsflash.
Yeah, we know that, yeah.
Beloved fisherman who dedicated his life to saving whales is killed by one after he rescued it from tangled ropes. Well, that's a whale of a tale right there, guys. I'm serious. That's sad. When I hear about death like that, that just blow holes. Lobster fisherman who devoted his life to saving whales has been killed by one as he rescued it from tangled ropes. Joel Howlett, 59, was killed Monday in the waters of his New Brunswick, Canada home off Campobello Island as he used his expertise to assist authorities in the rescue of a North Atlantic right whale. Howlett had successfully rescued over 24 whales caught in the lines over the past 15 years. He's a very knowledgeable fisherman who better to do disentanglements than a fisherman who knows the knots and the ropes and the gear. Jerry Conway of the Canadian Whale Institute told the Canadian Press. Apparently no one told the whale. He's going to be sorely missed by the community. He was an integral part of a very unique group of fishermen here on the island who were involved in doing detanglements. Hallett was on the Department of Fisheries and Oceans fast response vessel at the time of his death. The whale rescue operation was assisted by the Canadian Coast Guard, DFO said. The fisherman played a critical role in the rescue of another whale as recently as July 5th. He was a hero. He knew he was putting his life on the line with a 70-ton whale that is upset trying to deal with a wild animal. Whale rescue attempts typically involve the use of poles with cutting implements to free the whale from detangled lines. The rescuers did not get in the water during the operations. It's unclear what exactly led to Hallett's death, but the massive whale apparently made a sudden movement during the rescue. Yeah, Karen. He didn't know he was dealing with a killer whale.
Oh, you did it with too much blubber.
Hold on, sorry. That's what his wife and kids gonna be doing, blubbering at the funeral. They got the whale totally detangled, and then some kind of freak thing happened and the whale made a big flip. Mackie Green, who co-founded the Campobello Whale Rescue Team with Hallett in 2005, said Joe was the life of the party. He was always upbeat, laughing, telling jokes. So the whole island is at a desperate loss. He was a great fella and he really cared about the whales. Damn. Mm-hmm.
You got here trying to save them.
Yep.
I'm not even mad at them.
Save the whales.
Mm-hmm. They love animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not but this is white people news. Me and Roger was coming from the movies the other day, and there was like these geese crossing the crosswalk, and they had like the whole fucking crosswalk tied up. How many of them was like 12 of them or something?
Them gangster geese.
Yeah, we call them gangster geese. The geese don't move out your fucking way. They're like, fuck you in your car.
Yeah, they took over the whole street, and this dude got out of his car, his flip flops, and chased him off the side of the street.
Yeah, he did. He was pushing them over towards the thing, like they literally crossed the crosswalk, you know, as the timer go down, and they were actually in the crosswalk, and some of them kind of strayed. He stopped his car, right? We were right behind him. We stopped his car and coached them so they could move. I was like, damn, white people love animals.
Yeah, it was wild though, cause like,
yeah, them geese was like, y'all, what y'all ain't
gonna do? The thing that was wild to me is that they knew the timing of the crosswalk.
They did, y'all, they did.
They didn't even start crossing to the start counting down, and they almost made it across the street in perfect unison and right at the zero, but dude stopped his car and chased him off. I'm like, man, these people care about these damn ducks.
Right, and apparently they must be used to the timing, because like a whole crew, and like they was crossing. They actually stopped, and what was funny is there's one of the ones where it's a long crosswalk, so they actually stopped and stood in the middle, and then they kept going. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Actor TJ Miller's wife, Kate, speaks out against viral headline praising her for making a name for herself in the art world without actually mentioning her name.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the struggle of the white woman.
The artist, white shade.
Artist Kate Miller, who is married to Silicon Valley actor TJ Miller, is more than just a celebrity's wife. She has an identity and accomplishments in her own right, which is why she was frustrated last month when a headline in the New York Post mentioned her husband's name and not her own, even though the story was actually about her and her work as an artist.
Oh, I'd have been mad too.
Kate is now speaking out to Refinery 29 about the attention grabbing headline and the sexist way society still diminishes women. So the headline said, TJ Miller's wife making a name for herself in New York. Ha! That's high irony. That is high irony. That's pretty good. Quickly, the headline gained attention, which people pointed out how ironic it was that the Post would claim she is making a name for herself without actually using a name. I never seen a one sentence headline contradict itself from comedian Ari Fishbean in a tweet that has been liked 1/4 million times. Jesus. I gotta hop on white Twitter more often.
I know. We need to go over there with the cheese folks.
While the sad irony of the headline, which since the negative public reaction has been written, might be somewhat humorous to Kate and many others, it was also a reminder of the way women are still seen as belonging to their husbands throughout much of society. I was both overwhelmed by and grateful for the outpouring of support and response to something that had become so normalized for me, the idea that many women are seen as nothing more than their husband's wife. It made me think about the representation of married women in the press and how many women, people share my experience of being defined only in a relationship to their significant other. Mm-hmm. As Kay pointed out, she is hardly the first person to receive so-and-so's wife treatment. In fact, she remembers the 2016 headline about the Olympic trap shooter Corey Cogdell in the Chicago Tribune, which was widely criticized afterward, reading, "Wife of Chicago Bears lineman wins an Olympic bronze medal." Her medal still seemingly not making her deserving of a standalone recognition independent of her husband. Yeah, that's true. That's definitely an issue. And I see why she got mad.
Yeah, that's a fucked up title.
Mm-hmm. Making a name for herself, right. TJ Miller's wife. That's so ridiculous.
And then you didn't use a fucking name.
Right. T.I. tried to offer Rob Kardashian advice in the middle of that shit with Blac Chyna. Why? T.I., come on. What are you doing? What do you have to offer? Aren't you like the poster boy for not treating your woman good? Like, didn't that just happen this year? That we all found out you don't treat your woman good, and you already like, let me give you some advice.
Come on,
man.
She had the BET Awards going, "What I need from you is
understanding.
Honey, she up there singing to you.
Right? But yeah, the other thing is, since Rob Kardashian was having a meltdown, he shared it with everybody. So it's not even like it's a moment that just happened between y'all two. He putting it on his Instagram and telling everybody your business. T.I. said, "Why bring your business to IG though? Look, you got work, bro, but at least keep it to yourself. You letting the world know you a duck." And then I think Rob Kardashian put some shit about how he said, "Since T.I. want to chime in on business that don't concern him, let's talk about the threesome you had with Chyna and your baby mama," and said that he had to pay for it and shit. I don't know, man. It's all ridiculous. Jay Shu reunited. You know who Jay Shu is?
Mm-mm.
Of course you wouldn't, Karen.
You know I don't.
Have you ever heard of Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Amy Schumer?
Yes.
It's the combination of them.
Oh.
That's Jay Shu.
I wouldn't have known that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently they got a friendship that goes back years, and they hung out again recently and took a picture together.
Y'all need, that's why you need black folks or somebody of the LGBT community to let y'all get some cool slang, because that I don't like that name.
Jay Shu, you not a fan of Jay Shu? On Sunday, the actresses linked up in New York City for their first photo together in over a year. The Snatch star documented the reunion in a new Instagram photo with the Oscar winner and fellow actor Woody Harrelson. 36-year-old donned a white tank top and jeans and pulled her blonde tresses back into a ponytail. The passenger star rocked a black sleeveless dress and let her wavy locks down to frame her makeup-free face. Oh, she had a makeup-free face. Good for her. Good for everybody. Her Hunger Games co-star sported a blue pattern button-down and a baseball hat while he posed with his arms around the A-listers on the New York City roof. Amy simply captioned the shot, "Sisters," while Woody got a little more expressive when he posted the same picture of the trio. "Gals, I love Amy Schumer, Jen Lawrence," he said. Not even a full Jennifer, just Jen Lawrence. They that cool, they tight. Later that night, Amy and Woody went to a Comedy Cellar in Manhattan where the 55-year-old performed for the crowd. The actor got a laugh out of the blonde in a photo he posted on Instagram of her out. "Last night, Comedy Cellar with hashtag Amy Schumer," he wrote. The 36-year-old also shared a snap with the funny night, calling it magic in the caption. This is very white. Fans were first surprised to learn Jennifer and Amy had become friends when the New York native posted a picture riding a jet ski with the acclaimed actress in July 2015. The shot showed the blonde skimming across the water on a yellow vehicle while wearing matching black life vest. J-Law, hashtag maniac, the train wreck star, captioned the photo. And there's Girl Squad, and they were with the comedian and friends on a boat taking pictures in their bikinis, forming a human pyramid. It's good for them, I guess. Photos from the ocean outing seen to show that the Kentucky native had been inducted into the Funny Woman's group of gal pals. In one shot, the Joy Star rocked a brightly colored patterned bikini, which perched at the top of a giant human pyramid made up of Amy and her friends. In another, the A-listers can be seen lounging in the water on floats. In January 2016, the famous friends presented together at the Golden Globes and were nominated against each other for the honor of Best Actress in a Motion Picture or Comedy. Musical comedy. Even though Jennifer bested the BFF and claimed the award, the two still took a sweet selfie from the ceremony. Before Sunday, that was the last photo the women had posted together. Well, you know, that's enough to bring a lot of friends apart, but I'm glad that these ladies were able to overcome that.
Me too.
In addition to being good friends, the 25-year-old and last Comic Standing alum are also creative collaborators. In 2015, Jennifer revealed that she and the comedian were co-writing a movie script, which they also co-star as sisters. We're almost done writing. It just flowed out of us. We've got about 100 pages right now. And in April, Amy confirmed to Hello Giggles that the passion project is still happening and Karen can't wait to miss it. I hope we do it in the next year and a half and in the kind of movie we can film at any time if we make it. It's going to be like the light at the end of the tunnel, she said. So, Karen, you don't see that?
Mm-mm.
All right, told y'all. She can't wait to miss it.
It's going to sell on past me. I'll be all right.
Last time I checked, you can't donate extensions.
Oh, shit. What's happening here?
A YouTube star is caught in a furious online firestorm after being accused of lying about giving her hair to a charity. A social media star has come under fire after being accused of lying about donating her hair to charity. Vlogger Lili Pons, 21, shared a picture of herself with her chopped locks last week. In the now-removed post, the Venezuelan native, who now lives in Los Angeles, told her 18.2 million followers, donated my hair. First time I ever cut my hair. What do you think? They think you lying, boo. That's what they think. The photo shows her next to a friend who is holding a ponytail, which at first glance looks like Pons cut off hair, but an eagle-eyed Twitter user later chimed in to say the chopped hair actually looks like extensions, which typically cannot be donated. Care to explain how you chopped off your hair and donated it at Lily Pons? Last time I checked, you can't donate extensions.
And she
zoomed in on it.
Yeah, because there's a certain way fake hair looks, particularly if it's not human hair.
Mm-hmm. Care to explain? Pons hadn't specified which charity she intended to donate her hair to, but Locks of Love, one of the main organizations for hair donation, states on his website that extension synthetic hair and wigs cannot be accepted. Emily's tweet, in which she demanded explanations, rapidly attracted attention and has now been retweeted more than 75,000 times. The message has also received almost a quarter million likes. In a follow-up message, Emily said Pons had blocked her and shared a screenshot of the app telling her so. Damn, she blocked her. Instead of owning up to what she did, she decided to block me for questioning her integrity. Bye-bye, boo-boo. Emily ain't playing. Pons eventually responded to social media firestorm on Saturday. She didn't clarify whether the hair in the photo was actually made of extensions, but offered an explanation of why the donation didn't happen. One, to help clear any assumptions, I cut my hair with the intention of donating, the vlogger wrote. Two, sadly, after trying, I learned charities who donate wigs don't accept color-treated hair. Three, so I'm finding other ways to help the affected by hair loss of cancer. This is still a priority for me. Color hair is unacceptable for donations, as stated in Locks of Love's website, but bleach hair isn't, because products used during the bleaching process cause a chemical reaction when the charity tries to turn it into a hair piece. So you can actually keep color hairs. In fact, one of the only organizations to accept hair extensions in the UK-based charity Little Princess Trust, which works with hair extensions brand Great Lengths, accepted donations of 100% human hair from the company to create wigs for young adults and kids being treated for cancer. However, Lili insists the bundle of extensions featured in the image taken for social media was just being used as a prop. She says a photo of a chopped ponytail claiming it was a picture of her actual hair, which she originally intended to donate to charity. But she's like, it's just a prop. It wasn't ever my hair. While she declined the website request for comment, a person close to her who declined to be identified said the locks of hair you see in the Instagram photo were a reference to how many inches she cut, since her real hair was being gathered and prepped to be donated. It was never intended to pass off extensions as real hair. Mm-mm. You believe this white woman, Karen? Mm-mm. Karen don't believe it, y'all. And I don't believe a lying ass either.
Got called out.
You know what? Let's do some guest race, guys. It's time to play the game. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. My brother, that's right, it's time for guest the race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And you guys are all racist. And this system is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is the number one destination for nerds to get their nerd gear on. Every month they send you a crate. You got to sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to get that month's crate. And it's July and they are coming with the heat. They're gonna bring Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, and Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty comes back. Futurama is one of my favorite shows. Bob Burgers is one of my favorite shows, which is coming exclusively to Hulu next. You gotta get with it. And Rick and Morty is all on Hulu, by the way, guys. I've been watching it nonstop. Getting prepared for July 31st, I believe, when it comes back. Or maybe it's July 30th, whatever. When it comes back, it's on. Y'all know I'm gonna be watching it. So yeah, man, make sure you guys get Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter code TBGWT, and you get $3 off of any new subscription. What was your favorite thing that you got from Loot Crate lately, Karen?
Oh, it's so much stuff, but I like, I'm a big fan of Steven Universe, and I know you wore your drawers, but I got a pair of Steven Universe drawers too.
Steven Universe drawers, y'all. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things. I did enjoy mine. And that nice material, they're well made, like it's not that flimsy shit. I think mine's gotta be still that Spider-Man figurine we got. That's dope. Like, it hangs upside down. If you see it, it's movable. It's got a little web he's shooting out at you. It's great to take pictures of, man. I love that stuff. Put it right on my shelf.
Oh, and something else I also like. Mm-hmm. Joker's girlfriend.
Harley Quinn.
They got a skirt that is like a black and red skirt. And they got some socks to match. I like those. I like to wear that in the house.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. Look like Harley Quinn in the house while you're doing stuff.
Yes, for no reason.
All right, let's get to these guest races. A naked man rummages through cars, according to Evansville PD. The hell could be in the cars?
I don't know.
Well, maybe he was rummaging for some clothes. He was arrested. Police say he rummaged through cars at an auto repair shop, all while completely naked. Adrian Armstead is facing public nudity and public intoxication charges. Police were called to the repair shop late Tuesday night. Several people have reported seeing a naked man going through three different cars. Officers say when they got there, Armstead was inside one of the cars, still nude. Maybe he just got transported from the future, and this is Terminator 5.
I know, right? Didn't tell nobody.
After a search, officers found his clothes on the opposite side of the lot. Police say Armstead smelled alcohol and acted abusive towards officers. He was taken to jail and held on a $100 bond. Karen, guess the race of Adrian Armstead.
Oh, white. And so it failed. It only took you to the half of the parking lot, and you didn't get to actually go to time.
Yeah, he didn't go back in the future.
Somebody missed their numbers up.
Still alive, white. White. White, says AP. Looks like that's all the guesses. I guess y'all aren't feeling too race happy. Chocolate, haha, this is a doo-doo baby, black. This doo-doo baby. I remember that joke on Chappelle. That's a great reference too. Low bond, white. The correct answer is everybody went white except one person, and everybody was wrong.
What? Police didn't shoot him. What's happening?
What's happening is y'all got it wrong. He was a white man, only one, a black man.
Okay.
A black man, only one person got it. You get the golf clap. good show, old boy.
Ooh, that old school box.
I know. You like a rapper.
You taking it back to the 80s.
Cool it now.
Yes.
Slow it down.
Yeah,
I got to lose my clothes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know
I
what
I
happened.
I might be drunk. Cool it now.
Oh, that's terrible. But yeah, he got busted. Looking like Eddie Kane.
You fooled me.
You don't want to hang with old Eddie Kane.
Just like him.
A man was fired for intervening in a kidnapping attempt.
Oh shit.
Hey, he lost his job trying to save a child. A man from Portland, Oregon was fired in June for aiding police in thwarting a kidnapping attempt the month before. On May 12th, Dylan Reagan, 32, heard a coworker yell for help in response to a domestic dispute in the parking lot. Upon exiting the store, he saw the lady who's frantic and crying, and she's screaming, "Somebody help me, please. He's stealing my child. He's kidnapping my child." He and his coworker immediately called police, and the dispatcher advised him to follow the drunk, violent man from a safe distance until police arrived. At the time, the only thing he was thinking was about the child's safety, Reagan said. They trailed the man on foot for about 3 blocks. Then officers arrived. After giving their witness statements, the pair returned to work about 10 minutes later. It wasn't over yet, however. Reagan says he was scolded by a supervisor the next day. He said, "You did the wrong thing. You should have just gone back to work," Reagan said in an interview, which is a real catch-22. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, he lamented. On June 10th, Reagan, confused and frustrated, took to Facebook to voice his discontent. "The Friday before Mother's Day, I was involved in a kidnapping attempt at my place of work." That makes it sound like you did the kidnapping. "A woman has been assaulted and her child was being abducted by a drunk, violent man who was making a quick exit with the child in his arms. My coworker and I called the police and followed their directions to follow at a distance to make sure they could find him when the squad car arrived at the scene. Because of the actions of my coworker and myself, that child was rescued from his abductor and the man was arrested on the spot. Today, Home Depot terminated my employment. I was fired for stopping a kidnapper from successfully abducting a child."
Yeah, and what's so, they're white, and I think what's fucked up about, as far as the job is concerned, you shouldn't have left the property because you were quote-unquote on the clock.
Yeah, he posted a picture that he got a letter from Oregon Employment Department, which stated, "You were employed by the Home Depot until June 19, 2017, when you were fired because you assisted the police in preventing a kidnapping. This was not a willful or wantonly negligent violation of the standards of behavior an employee has a right to expect of an employee. Employer has the right to expect of an employee." Reagan captured the photo, "Fuck you, Home Depot." Though he was fired for violating the company's safety policy, he stood by the decision, saying it was still the right thing to do. The ensuing flurry of Facebook activity caught media attention and the story blew up. According to Reagan, Home Depot, no doubt stunned by the negative press, quickly reviewed the case again. Finally, on July 8th, he took to Facebook to update the masses. "Home Depot has offered to reinstate my position in the company along with appropriate back pay up to the day of termination as a show of good faith and has assured me there will be no retaliation if I choose to take them up on the offer." He decided to take them up on the offer because he missed his coworkers and enjoyed helping customers at the store. "We wish him the best of luck." Guess the race.
White.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. When keeping it real goes wrong, Captain lose a job, white. Only a black man could get fired for being a hero.
Oh.
This sounds like how they treat a black person, but it's Oregon and his name is Reagan. I'ma go white. Black, says EVE. Y'all were split on this one. A lot of controversial. No, everybody's all over the place. Dudley Do White, says Chriselle. The correct answer, or else he is. And Karen, you said white, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a white man. Just take your time to play.
It's in Oregon.
And his last name, Reagan. Some people got it wrong, though. They said black, Karen. Yeah, I like that this picture is him looking sad, holding a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Home Depot had to let him back. I mean, come on. Look at that guy. Wouldn't hurt a fly.
Right.
Got fired for trying to help somebody keep their kid from getting kidnapped.
Yeah,
damn.
Companies don't give a fuck. As far as they was concerned, somebody was mad because you left property on their clock. You can't be saving people on the clock, dog.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of kidnappings, let's go to the next one. This round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race. So the bonus round against the race so far, Karen is 1-1. But can she make it up in the bonus round? Let's see. All right. Let's see if you can do it. A New York man, construction worker, staged his own kidnapping to scam his widowed mother out of ransom money.
Oh, shit.
A New York man has been arrested and charged with 2 felonies after police in Long Island say he faked his own kidnapping in an attempt to shake down his mother for ransom money. According to Nassau County Police Department, 31-year-old Michael Sorbera of Huntington on Friday morning sent his mother text messages claiming he was in trouble. The victim, a 62-year-old woman from Elmont, got a call later that day that from another man who instructed her to wire money to Western Union in her son's name. Police say the caller threatened to physically harm Sorbera if his mother failed to pay up the ransom. During the call, Sorbera got on the phone telling his mother he was abducted and begged her to hand over the money to his captors, according to police. Instead of complying, the 62-year-old widowed mother to contacted the police, who quickly found her son at his apartment. Didn't even try. An investigation determined the 31-year-old construction worker was not a victim of kidnapping. He was promptly taken into custody. Sorbera has been charged with second-degree grand larceny and fourth-degree conspiracy. He is later arraigned on those charges, and his bail was set at $10,000 or $5,000 cash. The man who called Sobera's mother pretending to be the kidnapper has not been arrested as of Monday morning. Sobera's recent social media post suggests that he and his mother were very close, and in several rapturous statements, updates that that the man expressed his gratitude for her love and dedication as a parent. In one heartfelt Mother's Day post, Sobera described his mother in glowing terms as a one-of-a-kind motivating force of positivity and love. He went on in the same vein, writing, "They broke the mold when it comes to you as a person, but most importantly to me, a mother. You taught me never to give up, no matter how bad things might get, but to put your best foot forward and hold my head high and believe in myself when it comes to blackmailing your ass." Guess the race, Karen.
Joanne the Skimmer White.
Get out of his Caucasian house.
Get out of his Caucasian house.
Chat room says, "White, a black mama ain't paying no ransom for a grown ass man. White owes money to Tony Soprano. White." White people always faking a kidnapping. Is that a stereotype? That's a good one. He's a white man like Richie Cunningham, putter in his right, pitching wedge in his other hand. Call mom by first name white, and white. The correct answer is, and all of you got it, he was white.
Oh, somebody said white, but that mom would have been like, "Boy, stop playing on my phone."
Right. Yeah, man, he wrote all that nice shit about her on Facebook and straight up scammed her ass. Mm-hmm. What a piece of shit. "Mom, they broke the mold. By the way, speaking of broke, I'm broke. Can I have $1,000? I just got kidnapped."
She probably would have gave it to him.
"Don't make me cut my own finger off and send it to you." He didn't even try. He was sitting at home. What a terrible, you're a terrible person, bro. All right. Let's see. Yeah, let's go ahead and get into the Sword Ratchetness segment of the show and get out of here. It's been a long week. If you want to hear us, we've been everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Check your favorite show listing.
Crown and Collards. Crown and Collards. I was on the Mundane Festival. I don't think our Civic Sunday is out yet.
No, it's not.
But Crown and Collards, Mundane Festival. Three Fields Podcast coming out Thursday. I'm on that.
Project Fandom already out.
Project Fandom is out. It's just, I'm everywhere, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm everywhere. Okay? They say my name on these podcast streets. You say it with respect. A man brandished a sword cane at Mount Dora Pool Hall, police say. Like Dora the Explorer?
Apparently so.
Guess he was exploring that sword cane. Stabber, no stabbing. Sword cane, man. That's when you really, you a mischievous motherfucker, dog.
This is a bartender at Backhats. I just had a guy come in here with an invalid ID. I told him to leave. He wouldn't leave. He threatened to hit me with his cane, and I'm a
podcast. Where is he at right now?
They're fighting in my parking lot.
Are they physically fighting?
Yes, they're physically fighting.
And you're at Fat Cats, correct?
Ma'am.
You're at Fat Cats? Okay. Is he black, white, or Hispanic?
They are whitish, Hispanic. I couldn't even tell you. But they're threatening all my customers. They're threatening me.
Okay, how many people?
Two gentlemen. One is wearing a Detroit Tigers hat. Another one is wearing some kind of weird hat. The one dude with the Detroit Tigers hat has on a Miami shirt. The other guy has khaki pants on with a black shirt. They're standing in my parking lot. Now, oh, and his cane is a sword. So he actually threatened me with a weapon.
So it's a sword?
It's a sword, yeah. It pulls out into a sword. My bar back has the sword right now.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
No, right now there's two guys in the parking lot.
She really said that matter-of-factly. And his cane is a sword.
Right.
Well, I'll be damned. Well, one does never cease.
Like, oh, by the way. Like, they taking it back with this.
Yep. Apparently, Victor Cowles, 47, was arrested after police attempted... arrived at 12:30 a.m. at the bar and pool hall. They found him bleeding for the gash on his forehead. A confrontation between Amanda Milicic, who was pregnant. Jesus. That's some hood shit for some white people. It's a white dude, y'all. Refused to serve him alcohol because he had no valid ID. Milicic told police she soon after found Kales with a beer in his hand and took it away from him when he yelled at her, "Give me my fucking beer back." She told police that Kales then walked to the bar entrance and raised up his cane. He said, "I will kill you." Milicic's boyfriend and another friend came up to Calais, escorted him outside when an altercation broke out. Brandon Knight pulled his friend Shane Watson away from the confrontation. The sword was removed from his sleeve. Knight then received a cut on his right pinky and right ring finger. Cowles also headbutted Watson in the left temple and grazed his arm with the sword. According to an arrest report, Kyle said he was not sure what took place or how he got his injuries to his forehead. Kyle's brother, Jorge, was also there. He was said to have tried to calm Victor down to prevent any further altercation. However, there was no controlling Victor. He's currently out on $15,000 bond. Boy, I tell you, these people in these fucking swords, man. Coming to the pool hall, ruining everything. This ain't Roadhouse, motherfucker. All right, man, we'll be back Saturday for our feedback show. Until then, go to lootcrate.com/tbgwt. Mm-hmm. Use code TBGWT.
Please do.
All right, we'll talk to y'all soon. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.